Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, friends out in Pittsburgh not happy this evening. Evidently, the Kiss concert was postponed. Turns out Paul Stanley has COVID. And look, you know, as we talked about last week when I went to a concert and said how much care the artists took not to deal with people because they didn't want to get sick. Imagine all the workers who are not going to be able to work now because these concerts are going to be shut down because the artists are sick. We also find out that Ford Motor Company, evidently, they're delaying their return to work program from coming up here in October to January, which again takes me back to what do we do in the workplace? How do we make sure that our workers are protected? But just as important, how do we make sure that companies can stay open? If you can't get workers who are going to be healthy at work, what do you do? Here to share some thoughts on the fact that a lot of employers are going to begin mandating vaccines, and what are the unions going to do about it? I've asked Wendell Young IV to come talk with us. Wendell is the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 1776. They represent 35,000 Pennsylvania workers in retail, healthcare, manufacturing, and food processing. You know, the essential workers, the frontline heroes of last year. Wendell, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how you doing? Thanks for inviting me tonight.
So I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, what do we do? The federal government's clearly not going to mandate people get vaccines. What's the carrot? What's the stick? How do we get people vaccinated?
Well, Rick, I think we're actually overdue for employers to start stepping up and mandating vaccinations. Now, I know that's not a popular thing amongst some people. You know, we have the anti-vaxxers out there. They all have some different motivations. Some have some in common. Some have some different ideas. Everything from the ridiculous about microchips being inserted in the vaccine to just plain ignorance. And a lot of it driven by information sources that are far from factual. But the bottom line is this. You know, you mentioned the kind of workers we represent, and overwhelming majority of our members, almost all of our essential workers, they worked through last year. They did an outstanding job throughout their, all Pennsylvania and their communities, but they can't do it alone. And there's just too many people still not getting vaccinated. You know, right now we have the Delta variant, a few other strains out there. I'm not a healthcare expert, but, you know, I think like many people, I followed this well enough to know that the longer this virus is active and the more active it is, the more it's going to splinter into more variants. Right now, the vaccinations that are in use, authorized by the FDA, are protecting us against the Delta variant. But what about the next variant or the one after that? What if one comes out resistant to vaccination? We've already had close to, 700,000 people in this country killed by this virus, millions across the planet. How bad does this have to get before people wake up? So, you know, there's folks that talk about people's rights, and that it's, you know, my body, my right, and they're correct about that. But rights have limits, and those limitations we see all the time. You I've been talking about this for a long time now. You know, you don't have the right to smoke at work because secondhand smoke can adversely affect people's health. Well, you don't have the right to come to work infected with COVID-19, and in the middle of a global pandemic that's killing record numbers of people, you don't have the right to put your coworkers at risk. You know, as a union, one of our basic fundamental responsibilities is to make sure that workplaces are safe. That was one of the early reasons why people formed unions in the first place,
right?
To provide workplace safety, and making sure that workplace is as free and clear as possible of people who are infected or potentially infected in the middle of a pandemic is the best way we can make sure that our workers are safe. So it's pretty clear now. The evidence is overwhelming that the vaccinations in use here in the United States are working. The current crisis of this pandemic is one of the unvaccinated, caused by the unvaccinated, and the responsibility of the unvaccinated to do something about it. But, you know, those holdouts, whether it's 10% at a workplace or 30% or 50%, you know, they've had the opportunity to do this on their own and get there. And the fact that they're not means that employers need to step up. And I mean all employers, not just private sector, public sector, schools, everyone needs to step up and say, if you want to enter this place, you need to be vaccinated. You know, you have options in which vaccination. You have to do it. You have to do it not only to protect the other workers there because of potential breakthrough infections, but those workers who are vaccinated, who might have a compromised immune system because of an organ transplant they underwent or a cancer treatment, I just use a few examples that might be compromising their immune system or some other underlying healthcare issue that compromised that immune system, they shouldn't have to be at risk because of people who refuse to get vaccinated.
No, I'm right there with you. Now, yeah, you know, when you look at this,
that's where I am.
No, this is good. I'm glad there are some union leaders who are coming out and finally saying, no, we're going to take a stand on this, because I've had a number of my union brothers and sisters going, well, my union should represent my right to not have it. So how do you deal with that situation when it's your responsibility to represent each and every member, and one of your members is saying, no, you represent me, I don't want it. How do you do that?
No, you see, you can't pander to every individual. That's not possible, and that's what some people are doing. They're worried about that vocal minority of people who are not vaccinated and say, hell no, never going to do it. Because this issue was politicized by Republicans, by conservatives, and by Donald Trump. You know, this is the only thing like this that's ever happened, and it's because of the approach that Donald Trump took last year. Now, I know I don't want to get hung up on politics, but that's why we're in this situation.
Right.
So when it comes to workplace safety, I do believe by taking a position, whether it's a union leader or a business executive suite, the top management, that they are looking out for everyone's best interests. I've had this conversation with a few of our members. You know, a few of our members who have heard my stance on this have reached out to me. I've had some good dialogue with them. We have to look out for the greater good of folks. I'm not telling people you must get vaccinated. The folks who are saying it's my body, my choice, you're right. But you do not have the right to put other people's health and safety at risk. You do not have the right to come to work and possibly pass this on to someone else who is vaccinated or not, and then take it home to a family member who is vulnerable with a compromised immune system and or with children who are not old enough to be vaccinated. You do not have that right. You cannot bring toxins into the workplace. You're not allowed to bring weapons into the workplace. You're not allowed to shoot off guns into the air. Your right to bear arms means you can own them, but you have to be responsible with them. And those same kind of responsibilities that come in a democracy like ours for the greater good of the community apply here. You do not have the right to put other people at risk. So I'm not saying you have to get vaccinated. What I'm saying is if you don't come to work and do what's necessary to help protect everybody else, then you don't work. If you work in one of my meat cutting facilities, you got to put on chainmail and other safety equipment before you're allowed to go on that line. You have to operate the saws and the knives and the things on that line to help keep the person next to you safe so you don't injure them. And if you don't do that, you're not allowed to work. That extends to COVID-19 also.
No, I'm right there with you. But, you know, we're in this moment, Wendell, and it's really a bizarre time where people think that their freedom to not have to put just a piece of cloth over their face to not, you know, get other people sick, that their freedom is sacrosanct. But everyone else's freedom to be free from infection, that doesn't matter. I'm not quite sure how we got here. I know it's been 40 years of Reagan, the individual's important and all that, but we're in this weird spot.
There's two things I fault for how we got here. One is just plain old ignorance. They didn't pay attention in civics class. You don't have the right to do anything you want. There's limits that come and responsibilities that come with our freedom. There are limits and responsibilities that come with our freedom. And there's no better time than now to stand up and act responsibly and understand those limits, because those limits help keep all of us safe. Just because you have a car and a driver's license, you can't drive down city street at 90 miles an hour. There's limits and there are restrictions, and that applies here. Second, Now, with, and I believe this was during the Reagan administration, when the fairness doctrine was eliminated from news and broadcasting, and it became the wild, wild west in the digital space as well as in the print space of information sources, because I don't call them news. Every information source is not news. And today, with a smartphone, with a computer, a tablet, everyone can log on and find the information they want to hear and supports their biased position. That doesn't make it news, and it doesn't make it factual. So, you know, it, again, comes back to ignorance. And, you know, there's an old saying we all learned when we were a little kid from our, I think it came from our grandparents, ignorance is bliss. These people are extremely happy living in their ignorance state.
And they're proud to scream it as loudly as they can if you've been paying attention to some of these school board meetings. Last line of questioning I've got for you, because, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, how much does our government have responsibility in this? And ultimately, does it have to fall to the private sector and to employers to implement this, since there is such distrust and disdain in this moment for our government?
Well, it does fall to the private sector. It falls to local governments, school boards. But, you know, look what's happening. We had a governor who was amongst, I think, the best in managing this last year. You know, we certainly didn't know enough about this. And I mean, everybody didn't know enough about this in the beginning of this pandemic. But, you know, based on what we learned, when we learned we had a governor here, Governor Wolf, who took some very aggressive steps, and I say amongst the best we saw governors doing. And then we had a legislature dominated by the opposite party, who passed the law, through the ballot process, passed the law to prevent him or to undo any executive orders he issues. So they've tied his hands. And so there's really not a lot he can do, which is even why it's more important that whether it's school boards, cities, municipalities, counties, private employers, not-for-profits step up and do it. And you see them doing, you know, in recent weeks and even every day, more and more companies. Yesterday we saw news Delta Airlines is imposing a $200 monthly surcharge on employee health care. You know, I've had a couple of members who are not vaccinated. I had a couple of members say to me how outrageous they thought my position was. Only a few, about 35,000. I had about 12 people directly contact me. Now my reps run into a few more, but still a small percentage overall of people. And I say to them, well, who's going to pay for this? Because the typical case, non-ICU, non-ventilator, to be hospitalized and treated for COVID-19 per person is about $115,000. If you go into the ICU and or on a ventilator, now you're talking $150,000 to $350,000 or more per person. Who's going to pay for it? Should the people who did all the right things and got vaccinated pay for it? Do we charge? We take all that money and surcharge just those people that are not vaccinated.
No, I'm with you. And I said yesterday when I saw the story, I don't think $200 is near enough. It should be much more of that just because of the numbers that you laid out. And I've also gone as far as saying that at some point, especially when you look at the southern states that are just riddled with this, at some point you got to start turning people away. Say, sorry, you didn't get vaccinated. You didn't protect yourself. Sorry, we're not helping you.
So to get to the point, there's a responsible way to do this. I think we should have already started doing this, but yeah. I've urged all of our employers to begin mandatory vaccination programs, which would provide for, and I want to be clear here, a very limited space for exceptions for longstanding religious beliefs, which are not the person's personal beliefs. It's got to be a tenet of that religion. And you have to have joined it before last week or last month, right? Or during the pandemic. It's got to be something that's long established. That's the legal standard. So you see the Catholic Church and most archdioceses have come out, and the Pope has come out and said, look, we're not going to help people with these kinds of exceptions because our church is not against these. We support these for the greater good of people.
Right.
And the other would be, you know, if you have a medical condition, it really falls into the two examples I already spoke about. It's primarily, not limited to, but mostly people who have gotten organs, who are organ recipients, and people with compromised immune systems, mostly due to certain cancer treatments. You know, they're the two categories. And even a lot of doctors are coming out now and saying, even with a compromised immune system, you should probably get vaccinated in a lot of these scenarios because, you know, you provide some protection. protection, even if not as good as for other people. But that it's very specific to certain conditions, not all conditions. So there's a way to do this. There's a way to screen, and then there's a way to test those who initially refutes. And I am a strong believer in giving people some incentives. There's a number of ways to provide incentives as a carrot, as an attaboy for stepping up and doing the right thing. But I also think that there ought to be penalties for those who don't, except for those who meet the legitimate exceptions. Even those who are granted exceptions, we still have to test frequently to prove, to be able to prove frequently. And that's going to depend on the workplace. In a retail environment, I would say at least once a week, and that test has got to be in before the schedule is posted, or you're not on the schedule for the whole week. And it's a pain. It's going to be a pain in the neck for people to go get all this testing done. So if you provide some carrots, some sticks, if you continually do not show up for work because you fail to be tested, I would say you're considered AWOL. I mean, it's fine if an employer is going to fire people for not coming to work, but I think this is a choice individuals are making. And if they make the choice not to come to work, at some point you get replaced.
Yep. No, I'm right there with you. And good on you for this stance. I think more people have to come out and make this stance.
I got to tell you, Rick, I've had far more people reach out to me, and my reps are hearing it, for the very solid majority of people who have already gotten vaccinated or are fearful for their family and themselves and their kids and their moms and dads that they take care of. They're glad that people are stepping up and demanding this now. You know, it's the vocal minority who is causing all this flack. It's the vocal minority that people are pandering to. And I don't think we should pander to them. I think they've had enough time to do the right thing.
Yep. Right there with you. Good on you. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the article. Folks will take a look at your most recent op-ed over at BillyPenn.com. We'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at Wendell Young, the fourth's op-ed. Wendell, I appreciate the time. Great talking with you.
No, you too, Rick. Take care. Be safe.
You as well. Again, we'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at it's time for all employers to mandate the COVID vaccine for workers. Written by Wendell Young, the fourth. Quick break, right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this.